Martin Marlowe. Is this 37th or 38th? I've lost track. I'll probably go back and look it up before we actually tweet it out. But can I start with fourth grade baseball? Can I start with this topic?
Please.
You grew up playing a lot of ball. So Carson, my son, likes baseball, doesn't love it, but we've been going to the cages. We probably have gone three times just working on that swing and looking for the right pitch. And I'm just telling him, look for your pitch. Like, don't chase. I don't know who I think I'm coaching here, the next Rod Carew. But we go through all of this stuff. They've had about three practices. So the first game happens on Sunday, and it's the first year of kids actually pitching. Well, nobody can pitch at the fourth grade level. They're all 10. Every pitch is terrible. So the umpires, who are, you know, like 11, they're maybe 12. The first pitch Carson gets is like at his helmet, you know, up above his eyes. The guy calls it a strike. And I was coaching first base, and I am not like the great Santini yelling at anybody. I'm just like, do your best, have fun, whatever. It's fine. But he looked down at me like at first base, like, what was that? So then the next pitch, of course, is like in the dirt, a foot off the plate. He swings and misses. He's 0-2. Then he swings and he strikes out. But you watch this game. You talk about pace of play. And I don't know what you remember about that grade when the kids start pitching for the first time. I think we issued 32 walks. They issued 22. I'm making these numbers up. But of the entire game, which is an hour and a half, I think there were six balls put in play by both sides. It's either a walk or a strikeout. I just think they need to go back and rethink it. Like, let the coach pitch or the machine pitch, because these kids are just standing out there literally picking dandelions. There's no action. Like, you spend your whole spring getting ready. Here, get your glove down. Get your knees ready. We're even yelling, you know, from the bench, get ready. Ball's coming to you. There's no ball coming to you. There's no action at all. It's worse than the MLB problem. I just think it's too young for them to be – it is brutal. And I know maybe you just got to get through it, but I don't know what the answer is. But do you remember fourth grade sitting there and just everybody swings and misses or everybody walks?
It's funny. My buddy was sending me video of his kid. I think his kid is probably a little less than 10, but they're hitting off the pitching machines, and it seems like the kids are hitting. I remember umpiring. Remember we joked about this on the old radio show, how myself as an umpire, I kept my own clock where basically I thought every inning should go about 15 minutes. So if the game wasn't trending, a six inning game where maybe I get paid $18, okay, I'm not going to be there longer than an hour and a half. That's how long I should be. If it's a seven inning game, maybe $1.45. But I feel like the parents actually appreciated this. So I would start out with my strike zone pretty normal, but if that first inning goes 20, okay, now I'm playing catch up. So I got to get this game back on track. So yeah, you do open up the strike zone a little bit if none of these pitchers can throw strikes, but it sounds like this is just awful where nobody can get it even close. And that's where, yeah, you probably have to relook at the league and do coach pitch or do the machine, because there's nothing worse than just kids going out there and balls and strikeouts, and that's no fun for anyone.
It reminds me of like MLB. What's the issue? And you and I were there with Whitey Herzog, and he was just talking about the amount of pitches being thrown is the main issue. And it's so true. Like, watching this game, everything's either you're looking for the walk, which these guys are all about on base, right, or you're looking to swing for the fences and you're missing. Absolutely no putting the ball in play. It's not. Fourth grade is not analogous to MLB. I understand that, but it's the same concept where you're just kind of bored. And I'm afraid these kids, you go to practice, the coach is hitting you grounder, grounder, grounder. It's kind of fun. You're busy. You play third base, shortstop, left field, and you get zero balls hit to you. It's brutal. But I understand the ump. And at one point, one parent yelled at him, come on, Blue. And I'm like, come on, this kid is in like fifth or sixth grade. And every pitch is terrible. Like, it was his strike zone erratic? Of course it was, but it had to be. It's just, nonetheless, we'll bring you out, Chuck, to supervise one of the upcoming games.
Ooh, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm going to go to I'm trying to think of the wording now. I have a step brother-in-law, I think is the way to say it. And he plays baseball at Priory. So I said yesterday, I want to come out and watch a high school baseball game. So I'll just be out and about watching all kinds of different ages of baseball.
Oh, Priory probably got a great gym you could check out too. Weight room.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
All right. Cardinal baseball. This was going to be an upcoming TKO. And then the topic is this, and it's not anything that people haven't thought of, but what if Arenado's not enough? What if the hailed move, the great trade, which was a great trade, and it was a huge addition, but what if it didn't change enough? And doesn't this Cardinal lineup, this Cardinal team, even having Goldschmidt, Arenado back-to-back, even with Molina hitting well, doesn't it still feel the same, that there's just so many automatic outs, so many holes in the lineup? Isn't it crazy? Like, the Arenado deal should have been celebrated. But I think looking back now, maybe they didn't change enough of, like, who they are.
Yeah, what's funny to me, and I'm sure we'll talk about the pitching too, because the offense hasn't surprised me as much as actually how bad overall the starting pitching has been to begin the season. And I know they have injuries. KK just came back and Miles Michaelis is out. But that's been the most surprising thing to me. With the offense, it doesn't surprise me that much, except I will say this. I'm surprised that all of these guys that they've kind of counted on to say, okay, it's finally time to see what we have. And with those guys entering the year, it was Bader, who's obviously hurt, so he hasn't had that shot. But they wanted to give Bader the shot. They clearly wanted to give Tyler O'Neill the shot. They clearly, and I think we all agree, want to give Dylan Carlson the shot. And even if he struggles through the first month or so, I think it's worth it to keep him out there because we know his ceiling is very high. But even some guys like Paul DeJong, where the question is more so, is there going to be consistency? We know you can hit 30 home runs. Can you be a more consistent hitter? Can you be more consistent getting on base? What surprised me is that they haven't gotten answers on any of those guys, right? And so that's why we shouldn't be too surprised that you have this feast or famine. Like every once in a while, yeah, every once in a while, all those guys on a given day, they're going to find it. They're going to run into a 2 or 3 run homer. And you've seen that over the last week where they scored 14 runs in a game. They scored 9 runs in a game. But so many of these other games, they're getting shut out. And that's where this lineup, Matt Carpenter's another guy that we talked about, where I know we celebrate the hard hit rate. We celebrate exit velocity. And he hit the home run the other day. But Matt Carpenter is terribly inconsistent. This team strikes out a ton. And that's something that's not factored into when you look at hard hit rate and exit velocity, because obviously you're not actually hitting the baseball. So I'll say what surprises me is that all those guys that they're trying to count on, I think it's fair to say they've got nothing out of any of those guys on a consistent basis, right?
Normally the excuse would be, well, Bader's out. Well, O'Neill's out. And you would say, well, once they're back, but nobody feels good about that either. It's not like the guys that are missing are going to automatically solve your lineup once they come back. I think that's the frustration too, is the guys you're going to plug in. It's not Bader's fault that he isn't out there right now. He's injured. O'Neill's injured. But if you say, well, that's all they need is Bader and O'Neill to come back. Nobody believes that. Like, nobody's excited to say once those guys are back. And you mentioned Carpenter. The problem with the Cardinals' approach is, doesn't it seem to be based on hope? Like the Matt Carpenter plan is that, well, we just hope he hits. You hope that the spring training numbers were an aberration, that was, you know, not who he really is. And you mentioned the, you know, exit velo, all that. I wonder if his extension in part was, you know, the stat nerds kind of said, oh, he's better than you think. Oh, he's, you know, I wonder how much of, don't the advanced analytics always sort of kind of back him up even when his average is, you know, 100 or less. And I don't know how much longer you roll him out and just hope that it's different. And you can't keep saying, you know, and I like Mike Schilt a lot, but he can't keep saying, well, he's an MVP candidate in 2018. He was right there with the – that was a long time ago now. I know they're hoping it turns around, but I don't think that's a great approach.
Right, especially with Carpenter. If you're striking out a ton, and then it's great when you're hitting the ball hard, but if you're a lefty who's also facing a ton of shifts, even if you hit the ball hard, if you're hitting hard ground balls to the pull side, if you're hitting hard line drives or hard fly balls, you're facing an extra fielder over there. So your results are probably not going to be as indicative of your hard hit rate and exit velocity if you're a traditional right-handed hitter who's facing a normal defensive lineup. Yeah, I think hope is a great way to describe this. Now, I think it's fair. It was fair going in to roll out Dylan Carlson. I think it was even fair to roll out Harrison Bader, because I think the narrative on Bader is actually worse than the production he brings to the table. Tyler O'Neill, I actually thought maybe this is the year. I know he's hurt now, but he started off the year and he hit the home run. But after that, there was basically nothing from Tyler O'Neill. When Tyler O'Neill was hitting so well in the spring, I just thought to myself, maybe this is finally the year that he rolls it into the regular season. And I don't know how that happens, how you go from being unbelievable in the spring, you hit the home run on opening day, and then it's nothing after that. So I think it's fair to say there's hope there. Matt Carpenter is probably the poster boy for just the Cardinals are hoping he can get back to the Carp of a couple years ago or even close to that. And if you look at the data, and I understand that exit velo and hard hit rate, those are important stats. But at the end of the day, you also have to look at where's his production. And has there been any production since the red hot couple of months, which was what? That was 2018. I mean, we're now talking about 2+ years of almost zero production from this guy. Like not a starter. I mean, a bench type guy. And we know if he didn't have the contract, he wouldn't even be on the team. Let's be real.
And you realize they're paying Carpenter and Fowler like $33 million this year. Carpenter and Fowler. I do wonder, and I'm not sure how it works at the MLB with insurance policies. I'm guessing they might get some of that Fowler money back, right? Because he's out for the year. Because they were paying the bulk of that to the Angels. I'm wondering if they get some of that money back. I don't know what the answer is. It's not getting any better, and I'm sure they don't want an awful ending to a guy who was a very good Cardinal for a stretch. But at some point, it's just there are endings that are bad. I mean, Kurt Warner's ending in St. Louis wasn't very good. I mean, for a minute, the Ozzie Tony thing was really ugly. So it's not unheard of. I mean, Brett Hull ends up leaving town. I mean, things happen. So it doesn't always have to be the perfect farewell. But I think they're getting close to where they got to make some kind of decision. But nonetheless, does it help that the Cubs can't hit like historically bad? Well, you know what I would say is this. The Cardinals, despite picking it apart, it's the first month of the season. You don't think Carpenter's going to hit? You don't think Bader's going to hit? They're probably still okay in their division, right? The pitching will get a little better. The bullpen's still very good. You know, the lineup is maybe going to always be a little bit hot and cold, but they're probably still right there in the mix for the division. That thought hasn't changed over the last couple weeks. At least for me, it hasn't.
I would say that my opinion has changed in this sense. I thought when they dealt for Nolan Arenado that the Cardinals were now far and away the favorites in the National League Central. And the Vegas odds, as we talked about on opening day, reflected that. And I know it's only, 15 games. But my question was more so, okay, you're the heavy favorite in the Central. Can you win the Central by 5 games or whatever? And can you get closer to a Dodgers, to a Padres, whatever team comes out of the East? Can you get closer to these elite teams in the National League? At this point, and it is very early, I don't think they're anywhere close to these elite teams whatsoever. They're not even in that same conversation. Remember, they've lost, 4 of 5 series. They swept the Marlins. But when you look at a 3-game series, they have been bested in 4 of those series by teams that should be kind of the same as them when we're talking Brewers, Reds, Nationals, Phillies. I think the Cardinals should be winning the majority of those series. And then when you look at the Central, again, we're talking 15 games, so I'm not overly worried. I'm not saying the Cardinals aren't going to win the Central, because right now it wouldn't surprise me one bit if they still won it. However, I now look at this as a pretty even race with Milwaukee. I don't know if Cincinnati's going to stay up there, but Milwaukee's pitching staff, when you have Burns and Woodruff, they're really, really good. We all know what Hader can do. Devin Williams out of the bullpen, our Hazelwood guy, has started the year really, really bad. But I now think the Cardinals, and I haven't checked the odds, but they should no longer be the heavy favorites in the Central. I think it's going to be a 3-horse race. Maybe the Reds fall out, but I think Reds, Brewers, Cardinals are all pretty even from what I've watched here in the first 3 weeks.
Martin and Marlo. Marlo and Martin now are Monday home. We'll kind of rewind the weekend. We'll set the table, Charlie. That's what we'll do. We'll set the table for everybody for the week ahead. It is presented by Appliance Discounters. Appliance Discounters, well aware of all the can-nots that the other appliance guys are telling you when you're in need of an appliance and you need it right away. Well, Appliance Discounters, they want to make your life easier, offering a full in-stock, 40,000-square-foot warehouse full of GE appliances. Times are difficult enough. Why wait 2 to 3 months for your appliance when you can get it in just a couple of days? Lowest price, GE rebates, great service, and in-stock only at Appliance Discounters. Shop any of their showrooms or online, theappliancediscounters.com. As always, our savings are your savings. Also, Marie DeVilla Senior Living, located at the corner of Clayton and Weidman Road. Take a virtual tour. You can do that today at mariedevilla.com. Beautiful campus in West County, located there since 1960 and the longtime home to our good friend Red Shandings. Also, Triad Bank there in Frontenac on Clayton Road, just west of Lindbergh. Triadbanking.com is the website. It's real simple. It's a bank that was started in St. Louis in 2005. Five-star rated bank. So if you're a business owner looking to expand, make sure you talk to the CEO, Jim Regna, his entire team. Triad Bank is the neighborhood-friendly bank. And those Marlo moments, as always.
As always, Corner Butcher in Fenton just celebrated. Now, they're closed on Mondays because they got to take a break one day a week. But they just celebrated their five-year anniversary. So congratulations, Mike and Jen Diffley. 5 years going strong, Corner Butcher in Fenton. 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. Just go there, whether it's for barbecue, and they got bread, they have seafood, they have take-home dishes, they have pies, they have charcoal, they have salsa, they have sauces, spices, they have the meat and cheese boarhead partnership, they even have hummus. Just you have to go there first and check it out, and you'll be surprised at how many different items they have at Corner Butcher in Fenton, 2099 Bentley Plaza Drive. Of course, Kenilwood Pet Resorts. Took Otis to Kenilwood a couple times here in the last month for boarding, for grooming, for day camp so he can play and socialize. Kenilwood Pet Resort, 7 convenient locations in the St. Louis area. And then the Tim Jankerson Trilogy, the trifecta of companies. We're talking about St. Louis Lawn Care, stllawncare.com. Martin, I think you're gonna use them for treatment, correct?
We're going to get that lawn. Yeah, we got some clover, you know, the dandelions. I like to blame the neighbor because their yard is sort of like taking over our yard. But yes, I talk to Tim. We're going to get some treatment going, get that yard. We could have, you know, our buddy Lance in Milwaukee, he and one of the TV guys that he works with, they have lawnmowers. It's kind of funny. They tweet out pictures of their lawn and who has the better looking turf. Maybe Charlie and I'll start the lawn wars, the STL edition.
I like it. So stllawncare.com. You have STL mower repair for commercial mowing needs to get your mower fixed. And then you have lawncube.com, which is just launching here this spring. It's DIY subscription lawn service. Nothing else in the area is like this. So you have lawncube.com, stlmowerrepair.com, and stllawncare.com.
All right, weekend highlights for you, for us, for the sports fan. I mean, probably for the sports fan, it was Molina. A couple of home runs. I've got my uncle Mike Esma, who is from St. Louis, lives in Minneapolis, hasn't lived in St. Louis in probably close to 60 years, and still watches all these Cardinal games. And he's texting me about Yadier Molina on Saturday. I'm like, oh, yeah, I better turn the game on. I forgot. But high for the Cardinals would have been probably the Molina performance. Also, a lot of yard work, Chuck, this time of year. A lot of yard work. Then a little family dinner at the Village Bar on Saturday night. Great spot. Overall, let's see. Out of 5 sprinklers, I'll give the weekend a 4.5.
Oh, that's pretty good. I love the Village Bath. They got great burgers there. That's a great spot. Just a great spot there, pretty close to me. So we try to get over there every once in a while.
Oh, thanks for calling. Yeah, thanks for calling.
We haven't gone there lately. We've done remotes there. The old Martin and Marlo, whatever the hell our show is called, Midday Grind type situation. For us, though, here's what we're doing. This is not that interesting, but with child number 2 coming here, hopefully early June, we are moving my daughter. We're moving her room across the hall so that her room is going to basically just stay kind of the baby room, right? So she's now graduated. She's got the big girl bed. She's got the new furniture. But the room she's moving into used to be our guest bedroom. So we had all kinds of, you know, we had a bed and some furniture for when my mom and dad would come into town. But then because it's just easier, I also used all of that closet space for my clothing, right? So it was kind of my clothing room. So basically now I'm just being moved all around the house. So all my clothes now are kind of in flux.
So if you're dressed erratically, that's the reason.
Correct. Not because I have bad taste in style. That's the reason.
What about this week? What are you excited about? What are you looking forward to? I'll start, I guess, since I brought it up. I'm interviewing Kevin Harlan later today for a podcast, but also a little bit of TV because he has St. Louis roots. You know, his dad worked for the Cardinals. His dad, who became the Packers president, most people know that, Bob Harlan, but in his younger days was basically the Brian Bartow of the Cardinals. He was the Cardinals media relations PR director. And so Harlan grew up in St. Louis. And I'm fascinated with the story where the Kansas grad ended up doing Mizzou basketball and Norm Stewart was sort of like not happy about it. Anyway, look, is there an announcer that is prominent like he is that could come close to like approval rating? You know, like some people are neutral, like so-and-so's doing the game and you'd say, yeah, he's okay. Yeah, I don't hate him. I don't love him. Whereas the plus minuses, like Harlan has a lot of fans and seemingly few detractors. And maybe if he did every Super Bowl like Joe Buck or every World Series like Joe Buck, there'd be some haters. Oh, I'm sick of this guy. But can you think of too many announcers that are on that approval rating chart that could do as well as him?
That's a great question. And then you mentioned Joe Buck because he immediately comes to mind because now he may be the Jeopardy host and he's going to do some fill-in work and maybe he could be the host long-term, who knows. And we've talked forever with him, about how everybody on Twitter hates him. And he thinks, and I agree, that the big part of that with baseball is because baseball is so local and regional with your broadcasters. You listen to your Homer broadcast all the time. Then when you watch a national game, you feel like everybody hates you because they're not pro your team. And that's where Kevin Harlan is doing what? He's doing NFL football. He's doing the NBA. He does what? Some college basketball. So you're doing sports, though, where you don't have that local team for the most part. Yeah, I've literally never read anything bad about Kevin Harlan. And that's really saying a lot. When you bring up that question, I'd never thought of it. But I think he's probably, if not one, I mean, he's one of the best in the game for sure. He's super popular. He's super good. He's funny when the streakers are on the field, he has fun with it. He doesn't get political, which I know ticks off a lot of people. Like there's not even a twinge of that with him. So I think he's got to be one of the most popular in all of sports in America.
Yeah. I was trying to think about it because like Jim Nance is a huge name. And I think most people like him. Some people kind of make fun of him. He used to be real syrupy. Seems to have gotten away from that. And Tony Romo and him. And now because Romo is such a hit, I think Nance is sort of elevated again. But, you know, some people who don't like. I've never heard anybody online or in person like just kind of bag on Kevin Harlan. Anyway, looking forward to that. The Kilcoin conversation, Charlie, you know, you probably subscribe. You can get that on iTunes, Spotify. This particular segment, it's available at scoopswithdannymac.com and also the Charlie Marlowe YouTube page. What are some of the recent highlights of the page?
Okay. So on the page, we usually do stuff that's come out like that day, but every once in a while, I'll go to the video vault. I like to throw some of these old Cardinal celebrations from when they're popping champagne bottles. I did the 2019 celebration when they clinched the NL Central on game 162. I actually put a couple of Mike Colombo interviews on recently because Colombo this past September was at my spot, of course, that I love, Big Cedar Lodge, and he sat down. He just had his iPhone. He was there basically as a fan. He loves golf, and he interviewed Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, and so we put those on. Those are pretty interesting. The Yachty, you know, talking about Yachty, got some good response this past week. And there was one other one that did well. I'm trying to think of what it was. Oh, you know what? You know which video actually did pretty well was? I was at Normandy on, what, Thursday with the news that Jack Nicklaus is going to be redesigning that course. I just did a little thing where I talked in the camera. I kind of just gave some of the facts of what's going on. And I interviewed a guy who is a big member of the TMA fan page, a golfer, great guy named Chuck Womack. and he was just golfing there. And I put it out there. And I think it's actually the power of the TMA fan page that everybody watched their guy Chuck being interviewed, that that video actually did pretty well also.
How cool is that story that Jack Nicklaus got behind it? You know, Tom O'Toole knows him because of his association with golf. Tom O'Toole is a local attorney, but for years involved with the USGA, United States Golf Association, and then became the president. And it was pretty cool for several years. If you watch the US Open, you know, there's Bob Costas hosting the post-golf ceremony, and standing next to him is Tom O'Toole handing the trophy. And Tom went down and met with Jack Nicklaus and said, here's what's going on at Normandy, and we're trying to keep it a community. They kept calling it a community asset. And I understand people who say golf doesn't matter, but the idea is so many things in communities get boarded up or packed up, taken away, and they want it to be a place where, you know, not just fathers and sons, but maybe mom and daughters and families go up and golf and keep it reasonable. Like, so if they went to the bank and just said, we're going to redo Normandy and borrowed all the money, well, then the cost of golf would just be exorbitant. Like, nobody could afford it. So that's why they're trying to do it through fundraising. And it's part of a whole theme of North County and North City where you want things available, like for kids to be able to do. And maybe the kids caddy up there. Maybe they become good golfers. Just another thing to do in your neighborhood. You don't want it to look blighted. So anyway, they go to Tom O'Toole, goes to Jack Nicklaus, I think it was in January, down to Jupiter. And I love the story how he has a whole presentation in mind. He has like a computer he's about to put up, not a slideshow, but the whole thing spelled out. And he said, before I could even put our presentation in front of him, told him a little bit about Normandy, its history, sort of the neighborhood, what's going on. And he said, okay, good, I'm in. And he's like, well, hold on, I'll show you the. And he's like, no, I'm good, I'm in. And it's really remarkable. I mean, because Jack Nicklaus is, you know, his enterprises, including his design efforts and all this. Anyway, he has like the reach, like by hitting send, they can connect with like 8 million people. So imagine if Nicklaus Design says, hey, here's our latest thing we're working on. Here's this great story in St. Louis for this local community. You might get donors from Australia or Ohio or Florida, you know, that want to throw their weight behind it. So now all of a sudden you've got this whole national, international appeal, and then he's doing it for free. It's a great story. It really is. And whether it was in St. Louis or Chicago, wherever, it's pretty cool that Jack said yes. All right, Chuck, I want to end with this. This is from Twitter. So not all of Twitter is bad, right? Every once in a while, there's some fun topics. Some of them are stupid, you know, like if you could be a cereal, what would you be? Like, just stupid.
Tricks.
Okay. But the topic was put out there. Name Robin Williams' best movie.
Ooh, I like stuff like that.
And I looked at that and thought, oh, it's Good Will Hunting, isn't it? So then I started reading the replies. And people are like, if you say anything but Dead Poets Society, Good Morning Vietnam, Mrs. Doubtfire. And I just started thinking about, for a guy who was a stand-up comedian, who was a goofy sitcom, Mork and Mindy, you know, he was Mork from Ork, to think that he could become this. It's a really good debate. I don't know what the honest, I mean, you'll have your choice, I'll have mine, but it's amazing the catalog. It's a pretty good list to choose from.
Okay, let's break this down. Now, he won the Best Supporting Oscar for Good Will Hunting, and his character Sean is great, and that's a great movie. That's probably top five in my all-time movies. But the fact that he's not a main character, in terms of, you have Matt Damon. Even I would say in that movie, it's probably fair to say Ben Affleck. I wonder who gets more screen time in that movie, Ben Affleck or Robin Williams. I'm not sure of the answer there. So I think you can move to some other movies where he didn't have as many awards, but he was more of the star. I think Dead Poets Society is a great movie. Good Morning Vietnam, I saw it years ago. I can't remember all of it. I remember being entertained. But then you throw out, like, I think comedy movies, they don't get as much love, and they don't get any love from all the academies and the awards and all that. But Mrs. Doubtfire is really, really good. And remember Hook. Hook was really good. I remember as a kid watching that, and he's the absolute star of a star-studded cast there, and that's really good. So I probably would defer to Good Will Hunting just because that's one of my favorite movies of all time, but it is a good question.
It's a great question. Sometimes Twitter can be fun. And in honor of Good Will Hunting and Sean saying, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. I like to tell Charlie all the time, it is your fault. It is your fault. That's the sort of affirmation we have for you.
And usually it is.
Fair enough. This was fun. Let's do it again next Monday, the Marlo Martin. Next week, I'll figure out what edition it is. We'll get all that figured out by next week.
Sounds great. I think this was 37. That sounds right.